Barometer's falling fast, Kendall. Order double lashings on the hatch covers and the boats. I want everything movable on deck double-checked. We're in for a blow. A bad one.
Passage of the Tangmar. The story of a ship and its cargo of death.
I'm almost looking forward to the bad weather, Kendall. Give us all something to occupy our minds. Won't have time to think of Miller or Blake. And maybe it'll give Mr. Cregan something to think about. 2 days, Kendall, and Cregan hasn't poked his head outside the engine room. Haven't I got enough to worry about without my chief engineer sulking like a blasted schoolboy?
I left the bridge and made my way along the steeply canting deck of the Tangmar, checking the lashings that were secure. Already the bosun was at work, driving the oilskin crew, his voice raucous above the rising wind. Astern, huge green, cream-tipped rollers piled up, tons of water that threatened to crash down on us and then miraculously raced by, almost level with the deck rail. 2 days had gone by since Jones had asked to see me and threatened to divulge the name of the killer. 2 days during which Mr. Cregan, the Scots engineer, had remained below, driving his engine room staff and himself, rapping out orders, demanding efficiency from his men, while they swore under their breaths and wished Cregan and Jones elsewhere. One thing was sure, if Jones was released from the brig, he'd wish he was back behind bars when Cregan's engine room staff got through with him. But below decks in the passengers' lounge, Ilona Fedorov and Dr. Martin Lawler gave no thought to the rising storm.
A penny for them, Martin.
Oh, yes.
Well, what were you thinking of?
I'm afraid to think too much in case someone pinches me and I wake up.
Oh, don't you believe it's true even now? I mean us?
I want to. I should. After all, you've put up with me for quite a few days now.
Dr. Lawler, that's quite enough. Put up with you, indeed. Do you think I was putting up with you, as you call it, when you asked me to marry you?
You did say yes, didn't you?
Shall I repeat it?
No.
You must remember, it could easily turn out to be a dream for me, too.
Could it?
Since you proposed to me, I've thought of nothing else except your future and how I would fit into it.
You'll make a wonderful doctor's wife.
You see, I need reassurance, too. Supposing your friends don't care for me. Supposing they don't like the idea of Dr. Woolola having a continental wife. It might even affect your practice.
Only for the better. One look at you and my waiting room will never be empty. Yes, as a matter of fact, that's not a bad idea. I might even sack my receptionist and use you.
Is she pretty?
Miss Hawkins? Oh, no. An efficient and positive terror. I'm scared of her.
Oh, I bet you she eats out of your hand.
Bites it, you mean. Ah, but she's a good receptionist. Yes, it's going to be dirty weather, I should think. Are you afraid of storms?
If I say yes, will you take me in your arms and comfort me?
You mean you are afraid?
A little, I think.
Ilona, darling.
But not anymore. Oh, Martin, if I were to die at this very moment, I could be happy.
Oh, now, don't talk like
but
that.
But I must confess it, I like storms. Oh, no, no, please don't move away. I like them even more when you're holding me close.
I don't know how you put up with me.
How do you mean?
Well, here's every man on this ship would give his right arm to hold you in his arms, and you have to think up excuses to persuade your fiancé.
But I like that. I think at heart it must be very wicked. A dancing girl who wants only to please her lord and master.
Oh.
Oh, Martin, nothing must happen to you. You must be careful, very careful.
Yeah, what's wrong?
Oh, the death of Miller and Blake, I can't forget them, no matter how hard I try. And if anything happened to you,
Oh, beg your pardon. Really, I'll go right away and come back later.
No, wait, Tuka, it's all right, come in.
Are you sure?
Don't look so frightened, Mr. Tuker. Close the door.
I wanted to see you, Doctor, to ask your help. I didn't mean to intrude, I assure you.
Mr. Tuker, you're not intruding in the least. And you can be the first to know. Dr. Martin and I are to be married.
Oh, really? Well, then allow me to congratulate you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you. Now, what can I do for you?
Well, you see, I don't really know how to put this, but I heard that tonight we're going to have poultry, the chicken for dinner.
Oh?
Please don't laugh at me, will you? You see, I was always considered to be something of an artist in the preparation of a bird. I had quite a reputation at one time during my first wife's lifetime. Special kind of stuffing that I invented, you know. Little wines and herbs.
Oh,
and,
now, look here, Tuka. What the devil does this have to do with needing my help?
Well, I thought perhaps you might ask Captain Goddard if I could be allowed into the galley to supervise the cooking of the poultry for dinner tonight. There, you see, it's 2 o'clock now, and I should like to know one way or the other quite soon. If the bird is not cooked, just so, you know, slowly and with affection. Oh, it's a criminal waste.
Yes, but why not go to the captain yourself, Tuka? I mean, after all, I... Oh, I see.
Exactly, Dr. Lawler. I thought you'd arrive at the correct conclusion. A convicted poisoner. Even my dearest Martha, who loved me deeply, would not allow me to prepare any food. And I love to create dishes. I do so love it. The memory of my first wife's death, Doctor, rises between Martha and myself to prevent that mutual trust upon which, of course, marriage should be founded.
Now, Tuka, I'm awfully sorry.
I served my prison sentence, Dr. Lawler. I paid my debt to society. At no stage of my trial did the judge in sentencing me say that I was to be barred from the kitchens of the world. It's most unfair, Doctor, shockingly so. All I want to do is to tickle the panic and...
You haven't got a chance, Tuka, and you know it.
Who really thinks that?
Well, you haven't exactly kept your past a secret, have you? What do you think would happen if you did go to help out in the galley?
I know. One attack of indigestion and I would be arrested on suspicion of poisoning someone.
Yes, forget it, Tuka.
The doctor is right, Mr. Tuka.
Oh, yes, and apart from anything else, the captain is going to be much too busy to care what's for dinner or who cooks it.
Well, thank you. I felt it was a hopeless cause. Thank you again for listening to me anyway. Oh, yes, and I do wish you both all the luck in the world.
That poor little man.
He was so blessed serious about it. I dare say he'd have even let his first wife live if he'd thought that he'd be barred from the kitchens from the rest of his life. He'd probably sit at dinner tonight with his nose in the air and... Oh, wait a minute. Ilona, why do you suppose Tuka wanted to help to prepare the poultry?
Shift your course by half a degree, Harris. I'll have the skin off your back.
Okay, skipper.
We'll run with the storm.
So is it where you bring God? Is it Captain Goddard?
What the devil do you think you're doing on my bridge?
I used to command myself. A soldier, Captain Goddard. Gave my life to the army. I've got a right to be here.
You're drunk, Challenger. Get below.
And drunk? And why shouldn't I be? You ever tried sitting in your cabin, Goddard, surrounded by ghosts of the past? That's what I've been doing for 2 days now. Longer than that. Ever since we sailed. I want my gun back, Goddard. I have no intention of leaving this bridge without it.
You'll get it back when we get to Jamaica and not before. You threatened to use that gun on Mr. Kendall. If I had my way, I'd have had you locked in your cabin for the remainder of the voyage. Now take yourself below.
Just who do you think you're talking to? Captain of a battered old tramp that should be scrapped. I'm a major, Captain Goddard. You'll pay my rank and give it the respect it deserves.
I'm giving you till the count of three. If you're not on your way by then, I'll throw you off the bridge.
I wouldn't advise that, Goddard.
One.
Man against the elements, eh? Pitting his puny strength against the forces of nature.
Two.
Different kind of fighting in India, Captain Goddard. Behind every rock lurks an enemy.
Three. All right, Challenger, you ask for it.
Leave me alone.
This drunken fool demands his gun back, Kendall. If I thought he'd blow his brains out, I'd let him have it like a shot. Now, on your way, Major.
Well, Aren't you going to help him, Kendall?
Keep back, Kendall. I can handle this. You take the bridge. I'll escort Major Challoner below myself. Now, start walking, Challoner. Walk.
Curse you. Not to carry below.
I'll have your right for this, Goddard. A reporter. Have you drummed down?
What happened?
Major Challoner was drunk. Came charging up to that bridge, yelling about his army career. Said he wanted his gun back.
Dirk! Hmm? Oh, Dirk, are you all right?
Sharon.
He threatened to kill you, Dirk. He's mad. I was so afraid you might be...
Sharon, Captain Goddard's taken your father below.
First he pleads with me to stay with him. Then he threatens that if I don't, he'll kill anyone who looks at me. I can't stand it, Dirk.
Yeah, well, look, I can't leave the bridge now, Sharon. Not until Captain Goddard comes back. You go to your cabin and I'll come down as soon as I'm free.
I'm sorry to make such a fool of myself, but if he doesn't leave me alone, stop torturing me, threatening me, I'll kill myself, Dirk.
Sharon.
I only wish I had the courage to kill him. My own father, Dirk. I hate him. I hate him.
Sharon Challoner had taken all she could stand. She was white-faced and trembling as she left the bridge. Unless Major Challoner was stopped, I knew that before long the will of Victor Wherryman wouldn't be the only reason for murder in this passage of the Tangmar.